Hey everyone, it's Nat here this time. I know you're used to hearing Lawrence through the intro, but today is a different day. So here it goes. I know I can't do it as good as him, but I'm going to try. All right. On episode 24 of the Hot Take Podcast, we're going to discuss SportsCenter's Mount Rushmore, top stories and non-top stories that should be top stories, Bleacher Report's takes on season award predictions, Bradley Beal, and the following teams, Miami Heat, the Utah Jazz, the Philadelphia 76ers, and everyone's new favorite, the Brooklyn Nets. Hope you guys enjoy.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-hosts Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA, but if you are watching this, you may notice Lawrence is not with us today, but that's all right. We're going to push through with the show anyway. We have my boy Nat here. Nat, what's going on, man? How you been?
Nothing. Just trying to stay warm in this snowstorm that we're having up in the Northeast.
How's the snow over by you? It's crazy, it's bad. Right now.
I'm a short guy. It's reached my knees at this point. So soon it'll be in my head.
Goodness.
You know, I won't be able to get out. Yeah.
I'm further north than you are, so it's slowly making its way over here. So if you hear some background noise, that's like plows and stuff, you know, doing their thing.
That's right.
But I kind of wanted to start with what we did on last week's show. If you haven't listened to it, you can follow us on, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, follow us on our Instagram at the Hot Take Podcast. And one of the things we did last week after honoring and remembering Kobe Bryant, we talked about our Mount Rushmore of players, right? People who, to us, influenced the game, changed the game in major ways, with the exception of certain people. And it's funny that I mentioned that, because when I mentioned those certain people, the other day, SportsCenter came out with their Mount Rushmore of people, and they had the exact same people that we said would automatically be on that Mount Rushmore. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Steph Curry. So they agreed with this. SportsCenter agreed
with
this.
Exact same?
Exact same.
No way. Okay.
Exact same.
Wow, I didn't see that.
But remember, we had to exclude those four because that's a given already. So we gave our own personal, you know, takes on who should be on that Mount Rushmore. I just quickly wanted to go over some notable mentions. Some that I didn't mention because I thought other people would mention, but nobody did. Shaq. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I thought you were going to say Shaq. That's why I didn't say Shaq either.
I thought somebody was going to say Shaq, so I skipped out on it because somebody said Giannis, right? And they were like, oh, you know, Giannis is like Shaq. So technically, it should have been Shaq. Shaq should have been on there because as dominant a figure as Shaq was, there's been nobody like him since.
Exactly.
That dominates the way that he does.
I agree.
Another notable mention was Agent Zero, Gilbert Arenas. He had a short window there, but he was kind of the Steph Curry before Steph Curry in terms of his range, his buzzer beaters, what he was able to do, you know, from deep. Did you have any other notable mentions, maybe people that we left out that we could have added?
It was just Shaq for me. Cause I figured that you or Jeremy or AJ would pick, cause you guys are older, obviously. I thought that you guys would pick him, but that was it for me.
Right. I agree. So moving right along into our top stories, because last week we had that special episode. We didn't do or cover any of the top stories from the week prior. So we're missing 2 weeks worth of top stories. And instead of going through each one individually and taking up a whole bunch of time, I just kind of wanted to get your take on what the top stories of this past 2 weeks were to you, things that stood out to you.
For me, last night was a crazy big story. We all know what happened with the Nets and the Wizards, right? I mean,
right.
That
we'll
game.
Get into that too.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of top stories, it's hard because I feel like for the most part, I've been following just the Lakers. So, you know, of course. So the top story for me was just that big game on Saturday against the Celtics, in which that was a close game too.
That was.
So for you, what was your first story in mind?
For me, right, though, the first one that came to mind from a couple of weeks ago was CJ McCollum. You know, he was on pace to make the All-Star, you know, roster. Like, he was lights out. He was taking on average 11 threes a game, you know, making about half of them, a little bit less than half. And then to have that foot injury, and it always seems like with CJ McCollum, right when he's about to like break through or make this major jump, this major leap, something catastrophic happens, injury or injury to another teammate, and things just kind of fall apart from there. I felt like that was a top story, just going based on like how it was for CJ McCollum thus far this season, because there was that debate on who was the best duo in the NBA, the best backcourt duo. And you could say hands down, it would be CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. You know, there was that snippet there where reporter was like, oh, what, you know, what about like Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook? And, you know, Dame Dalla took offense to that.
Like I know that I think the Pelicans are trying to trade or offering to trade Lonzo Ball and JJ Redick. What are your takes on that?
I found that one to be really interesting because some of the teams that were discussed as possible trade destinations for JJ Redick really stood out to me. I know one of them was him going back to Philly.
Or Boston, right? I think that too.
Yeah, Boston was the other one. But if sticking with Philly, if he goes back to Philly, Philly's number one in the East right now. And you add another shooter for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to kick out to. That's more of a cheat code. I feel like JJ kind of hasn't been utilized as much right now in New Orleans, which is really sad to see because he's lights out. He's absolutely lights out. And I wish he got more playing time. And for sure, if he went back to Philly, that's exactly where he would be, you know, shooting lights out once again. The other one that you mentioned was Boston. Of course, it would come down to who the Pelicans would get in return. Maybe like a Jeff Teague or something like that. But I could also see him fitting in Boston because Boston, I feel like, needs more outside shooting, more reliable outside shooting. And it gives you a little bit more stretch with your lineups because I feel like right now that's one of the things that hinders the Celtics is their lack of depth.
Yeah.
You know, on the roster chart. And I think if they really want to make that jump this year, they're going to have to bolster that lineup somehow. So I think adding a JJ Redick would be extremely beneficial. What about you? What do you think about those potential trade destinations?
See, for me, I'm not sure about JJ Redick because he is getting up there in age. He's basically a veteran now. I do think that it'll be scary if he goes to Philly because Philly's already stacked, as you said. So hopefully, you know, just kind of like balance things out in the East, he goes to Boston. I'm rooting for that if that's a possibility. For Lonzo, I agree too. They're not using Lonzo, you know, properly in New Orleans as well. I think his game is a lot, you know, it's not fitting in New Orleans. So hopefully we see him somewhere else too. I've seen I think Chicago has interest in him as well. Him and LaVine. I mean, interesting, but.
Right. I agree. But I also feel like there's possibilities that LaVine could possibly be on the move. You know,
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Get him somewhere else. One of the other top stars that I kind of wanted to talk about, the game that we were talking about, the Washington Wizards versus the Nets. You know, like you said, that was a big story because it was such – if you saw clips of the beginning of that game, you know, Bill Simmons, you know, somebody that I listen to all the time, he calls himself the body language doctor. And he has this almost like a third eye for reading people's body language. And I'm almost certain if you saw the first three quarters of that game, Bradley Beal had the absolute worst body language. You could tell he did not want to be there. He was throwing the ball at the stanchion after, like, you know, an open dunk. They were down by double digits. Coming into a timeout, teammates are trying to high-five him. He's not even acknowledging them. He's, you know, you could tell he's visibly frustrated. And then to go on into the fourth quarter with that major comeback, and let alone within the last 7 seconds of the game, you know, with Bradley Beal starting the, you know, with the dagger three to bring them within What was it? I think they were down five.
They were down five, yes.
Yeah. And then that three brought them within two. And then I think it was Joe Harris with the arid, you know, bad inbounds pass directly into the hands of I don't even know who stole it, to be honest with you, but they kicked it out to they kicked it out to Westbrook, which is like the smartest move you could possibly make. And he's not even a good 3-point shooter, but he makes
not,
it.
Nah.
He's a terrible 3-point shooter. But he makes it. He makes it.
Yeah. It's funny because I saw it and like Joe Harris wanted to pass it to KD. But KD, yes. I think he cut or like he like ran the other way he to cut. Like try to like get away from the defender. And that just yep. kind of led to that. So I was like, man, poor Joe Harris. I bet he's like picking the ball right now.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, man.
For sure. One of the other top stories from the past couple of weeks, I feel like, have been the New York Knicks. Lawrence's New York Knicks. Right? Yes. They've won some big games. You know, they beat the Warriors. There was a stat for one of the games where Austin Rivers went off. He scored 25 points in 11 minutes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? One of the other things that I wanted to mention about the Knicks, this kind of segues into our next topic, which is what are the non-top stories that should be top stories? I feel like these are stories that nobody's really talking about, but they should be talking about. And one of them is the New York Knicks. Because the Knicks have one of the top NBA defenses right now. Mm-hmm. Currently, they rank number one in opponents' points per game. This was a few days ago, so that might be different now.
Right.
But at one point in time this season, they were ranked number one in NBA defense. And I feel like this is a tribute to Tom Thibodeau preaching defense. And I called this, if you remember, during preseason – you know, the Knicks had the whatever their record was, and like they were so locked in defensively. I feel like they've truly bought in and they now have an identity of who they are. They're not just a collection of talent, but they are a defensive unit. You know what I mean? And to be ranked number one, number two, if you know, just to kind of throw it out there, number two is the Lakers, which. That's a cheat code. I mean, you got AD and LeBron.
Who are struggling right now, by the way. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
They are struggling, but I mean they're still third in the West.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, you're right.
Still third in the West. But yeah, I feel like that's a non-top story. Another non-top story that I feel like should be a top story, and this goes back to a couple weeks ago. And this is somebody that I've been very high on since the beginning of the season. And that person is Young Bull, a.k.a. Colin Sexton.
Sheesh. This guy's
because a couple
star,
weeks
man.
Ago, right, when the big three of the almost said the New Jersey Nets, of the Brooklyn Nets finally hit the court together, right? It was Kyrie Irving's debut. He had, like, the tribute video. Mm-hmm. And Colin Sexton gave it to them. Almost single-handedly, like by himself, took down the big three of the Nets.
Dude, I watched that overtime, well, both overtimes, and oh my gosh, he wouldn't miss. I was like, this guy's on something else. I was like, what is going on right now?
Yep, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is why I want him in a Miami Heat uniform. We need that tenacity, that tenaciousness on defense, but... Because, like, your Lakers, Miami is struggling, but, like, almost twofold right now. But that's the topic for later. But Colin Sexton, everybody's been sleeping on Colin Sexton, but I've been talking about him.
I have too.
Yeah. I feel like that's a non-story that should be a top story because nobody's talking about him. They were talking about him for those, you know, those two games, but after that, I mean, granted, maybe his numbers dipped and, you know, following games and whatnot, but I feel like he's – in the process of making that leap to becoming one of the elite players in the NBA. Maybe not top tier or second tier or third tier, but maybe like five or six tier. Like he's getting there.
Right.
He's getting there. For you, were there any other non-top stories that you think should have been top stories?
I think for one, the Utah Jazz winning, what was it, 11 straight games?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that they kind of get overlooked sometimes because they are the Utah Jazz and like they're not like a like high, like Hollywood kind of like team. But I overlooked they've been going them. Off these. Yeah, they went off these past like 2 weeks or so. I'm surprised. I think they lost to the Nuggets, I think, yesterday. But yes. That was a good streak, though.
Prior to that, they were number one in the West.
Yes, that's right.
When I saw the when I saw the conference like leaders, I'm like, Utah? What?
Yeah.
Who do they even have aside from Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert? Like, but Mike Conley's been going off, Bogdanovich has been going off. I think Jordan Clarkson, he's candidate for like sixth man of the year right now. Shout out to the Utah Jazz. Another non-story that I thought should have been a story, Jeremy Grant for the Detroit Pistons.
On the Pistons. Oh, they beat my Lakers.
As of 2 weeks ago, again, we're catching up from top stories for the past 2 weeks. He, at one point in time, had the most 20-point games this season, having more 20-point games than LeBron James.
I gotta put that in there, huh? You gotta just mention that.
Gotta throw it in there. Yeah, I gotta throw it in there.
Oh man.
Yeah. Jeremy Grant. So my question to you about Jeremy Grant, is he legit? Like, is this for real?
See, I saw it when he was in Denver in the playoffs last year. He can score, man. He's a good offensive like threat. And he went to Detroit because he wanted to be like the main or like one of the main go-to scorers for a team. And you see it right now, he's proving it daily, you know, in Detroit. He's averaging 20 plus a night, and he's going off. I think he is legit.
So you think Jeremy Grant is legit? I feel he's not there yet. Because when you play on a bad team, when he was on Denver, he was not the first option, second option, third option, maybe not even the fourth option at times. Right. But when you come into a team like Detroit where you have an aging Derrick Rose, you have an injury-plagued and aging Blake Griffin who seems to be a shell of himself. Like he's – I don't see anything about him like on highlights unless he's like, you know, bumping into people and starting drama. But other than those two, like who else does Detroit have? Like so he kind of has to be the guy.
Right.
He has to be the guy. So I feel like I don't think he's quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair point.
I mean, right now, currently, they're the second worst team in the East. You know what I mean? So, like, when you're a bad team and you only have, like, one go-to scorer, you know, he's going to get his points.
Of course. Bradley Beal. I'm just kidding.
we'll get into Bradley Beal in a second. Get into Bradley Beal. Actually, let's go ahead and get into it right now.
Okay.
We're going to do a 2.0 version of this because we completely butchered it the first time when it was you and me, Lawrence and Jay. Let's do, for hot take, we'll do cap, no cap.
Okay. I'm ready. Let's do it.
So just for clarification, if something is BS, if it's a lie, if it's not true, it's cap. Yes. If it is the truth, you know, or it is factual, then it is no cap.
No cap. Right. Right.
If I make a mistake, just correct me because
I will. Don't worry, I got you.
So we'll start with Bradley Beal, right? So as of a few, I think this was last week, these stats are from last week, but during a 6-game stretch, Bradley Beal had a stat line of 47 points, 6 assists, loss. 33 points, 5 rebounds, loss. 31 points, 7 rebounds, loss. 34 points, 9 assists, they got a rare win. 41 points, shooting 16 for 29 in a loss. And then he had 60 points. 60 with 7 rebounds in a loss.
Right.
For the first 2.5 to 3 quarters of their game last night against the Nets, based on his body language, like I described earlier, based on what you've seen, do you think by this time next year, Actually, let me rephrase, because we're playing cap, no cap. By this time next year, Bradley Beal will be in a different uniform.
That is no cap, meaning it's true. I personally, like no joke, not thinking about your bias towards Miami Heat, I want him in a Miami Heat uniform, like truly. Because this team, the Wizards, they play no defense. That's why they're losing, basically.
Right.
And, you know, scoring can get you so far, but if you're not playing defense, you're going to just keep giving points up. And
he said himself, they couldn't guard a parked car. Like, that's how bad their defense has been.
Exactly. And speaking to your body language of Bradley Beal, I think it's because they're so used to losing that he's going to expect them to lose. That's basically why, you know, he's been frustrated. He's been angry. I feel like he is a dog. And, you know, like we said in the past, dogs belong with dogs, you know, and like I think his mindset of always trying to win, always trying to be that person, he belongs to Miami, you know, with that mindset. So
I feel like, because Westbrook is also a dog,
mm-hmm.
but he's an injured dog.
Feel like a dog?
Yeah. And so it's hard when you are clearly the best player on your team and you have no help around you.
Right.
Right. You said no cap. I think it's cap. Okay. As badly as I want to see Bradley Beal in a Heat uniform, I think he's a man of his word where he says he wants to win. And he wants to win in Washington. I truly feel and believe that that's what he wants. Whether that happens or not, because losing can only get you... You can only take so much of it, right? Before you eventually... Right. Come to your senses, like, I got to get out of here. Because when you have a stat line, when you have stat lines like that, when you drop 60 points in a game and you lose, just something's not right. Like, you gotta find somewhere where you can fit in.
Right.
But as of right now, because the question was, or the statement was, he will be in a different uniform next season. I say it's cap. I think he's going to give it at least a whole another year, year and a half before he leaves, maybe even until his contract expires.
Okay.
It's just sad to see, man. Like, somebody just balling out like that. And, like, you want to feel so bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he could have left before, you know, before the season. He could have gone elsewhere.
That's true.
We'll see what happens. The next one I want to get into, cap or no cap, Miami will make the playoffs this season.
Oh, that's a tough one, man. That's tough.
Let me just say this before you give your answer.
Yeah.
Miami currently is 13th in the East, third to last. They are 7 games back of first place. The argument in a regular season and an 82-game season, they've had this situation before where they had a really, really bad start, but then they won like 33 out of like I don't know how many games. They went – like 33-6, you know, at one point a couple of years ago, but they missed the playoffs by one game.
Right.
The only difference is this is not a regular season. You have 10 fewer games. So literally starting now, every game matters.
Yes.
Right now, 13th place, 7-12 record. Charlotte is in 8th with a 9-11 record. So they're only 2 games ahead of Miami, but the statement is Miami will make the playoffs. Cap, no cap.
I think they will make the playoffs. So that is no cap. That is no cap. Yes.
Yeah, no cap.
I don't know. I just think obviously they've been hit hard with COVID protocols and injury protocols. So they didn't have Jimmy until a few days ago. So, I mean, I think hopefully they do. I personally want them to. I think they shouldn't be in like the last few teams in the East. So, yeah, I think it's no cap.
Miami will make the playoffs. I say is cap.
Man, we are just
my hope,
not agreeing right now.
My hope is that by me doubting my team, they'll all of a sudden just turn it on. You know what I mean? Because it worked for me during the playoffs last year. I was like,
That's right.
There's no way they're going to beat the Celtics. And they beat the Celtics. I was like, there's no way that they're going to get a game on the Lakers. They got 2 games on the Lakers. So my hope is, I say cap only with the hopes that Miami will, like, somehow in the cosmos, this reaches them and, like, it turn, flip something on and they make it into the playoffs this year. Jimmy Butler, he's reportedly lost over 12 pounds due to COVID. But he looked great. He looked great last night. They only won by 1 point, but a win is a win at this point. I'll take it. They have, if not the most, they're tied for the most different rotations for starting lineups.
That's right. You told me that. That's right.
Yeah. I think they've had like 13 different starting lineups because of injury, because of COVID protocol. And I appreciate what Coach Spoelstra said. They're not making excuses. They got to win games. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is stacked against them right now. That's not an excuse. You have to win games.
Sure. Right.
So hopefully they make it. Hopefully. Hopefully I'm wrong.
I have a side question for you, by the way.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson will be like in trade talks this season and possibly leave Miami or get traded to another team?
It depends on who we're getting in return.
Okay.
At the beginning of the season, I thought for sure there's no way those two would be included in any type of deal. Because like you're setting a foundation for the future, basically. And you found hidden gems, basically. They have not, as a team, Miami has not produced or shot well from range, which is supposed to be their bread and butter, you know, based on last season. I think they could potentially be in trade talks. I think they're.
I don't want to see it, but I think they are going to be in trade talks.
I don't want to see it too, but because they're so fun to watch in Miami, you know, like it's just last season. I don't know. There's all these talks about last season being a fluke. You know, they were this whole like us against the world vibe, you know, nobody believes in us. Yeah. And nobody did. Nobody did going into the playoffs. But now everybody knows how they play. Their shooting numbers are just so bad right now.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And it's sad to see. The next one. The Utah Jazz will be the number one seed by the time the playoffs starts. Cap, no cap.
That's a big cap. That's the Pharrell Williams, you know, big like hat that he used to wear like 5 years ago. That's a big cap right there. I personally know we said the Lakers. I said the Lakers one seed like back in like a previous episode, but man, I think the Clippers might, honestly. It's either one or the other, but not the Jazz. I don't know, you know, I don't know how they got that 10 win streak, but I'm putting it all on the Clippers and Lakers to get first seed. So how about you?
I say cap. I don't think they're going to be the number one seed. I think it was probably something fluky where, like you said, the Lakers are right now they're in a rut. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're
not. I don't know why though. Yeah.
I don't know why either. That's a cheat code. That's like 2K. Like,
you see, AD missing dominoes and all that. Yeah. I'm like, what?
I don't know what's going on there. The Clippers, I still don't believe in the Clippers. I really don't. So really? I still feel like the Lakers will be number one coming out of the West. The rest of the West looks really weird to me, honestly, because I feel like based on our predictions prior to the start of the season, I'm way off. I am so far off. Just real quick, right now it's Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, Lakers. That's your top three. Then Denver. I know you and Lawrence had Denver as your number two. I had them as my number three. Memphis, which I was completely wrong about because they're balling out right now. Then the Phoenix, I was right. I forgot who's. I know I said they were going to be in that 5 to 8 range, so I was right about the Suns. Right. Portland, I was wrong about. Portland's there. Golden State, I said they would probably be in the 8th spot, so you know we got that right. And then Dallas is the biggest shocker to me because I had them as my 2 seed.
I think I did too, or like high up in the rankings too. I had them,
Yeah, I had them as my 2 seed, and they're not playing like a 2 seed. I don't know what's going on there.
They started out strong, but then just kind of went like downhill from there. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I think it's like injuries and then rotations and whatnot, but it's not looking too good.
Right.
So both of us agree Jazz being number one by the time the playoffs start, that's cap. There's no way. Next one. The Philadelphia 76ers will be the team to come out of the East.
Ooh. Man, that's too early though. But let's just answer it just cause right now. All right.
No cap. Let me rephrase to make it simpler. They will make the NBA finals. Cap, no cap.
Cap. I still don't believe in Joel Embiid. All right. I don't know. Like he's fragile. Fragile as in like he gets injured easily. And he just chokes. I mean, I don't know, man. For me, granted, they have shooters now. They got Ben Simmons. You know, he's popping off too. But I don't know, man. I just don't know about Joel Embiid. Like, he's the only one that's like making me decide this. If he wasn't there, I probably think different. But you know, for me, it's cap. I know what you're gonna say. So let's get to it. I can't wait for this. Go ahead.
I don't want to say it, but as of right now, the way that they're playing, the way that they're constructed, coaching, I say no cap. I think they could potentially make it out of the East. I really do. I hate to say it because I'm not a Philly fan. I don't like Philly.
Neither of us are, yeah.
But the way that they're built, the way that they're playing, the chemistry that they have, their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the potential of getting J.J. Redick back, that's an upgrade from Danny Green.
Danny Green better be in that trade. If he stays in there, good Lord. Dude, plus they have Dwight Howard. Again, people are seeing Dwight Howard. He's yep. amazing on as a center. So
that's why I'm not too worried about Joel Embiid because he has somebody to back him up. He has somebody to give quality minutes for him to catch rest. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but Joel Embiid looks a lot healthier this season, like physically.
Yes.
There's talks and reports that he's taking what happened in the bubble, like kind of using that to fuel him, you know, like how he would kind of tire out at the end of games and like he wasn't in the best condition. But I think he's really making a name for himself, and we'll actually get back into him a little bit later on in the show. But I say it's no cap. I think they can make it.
I believe you. You're the biggest Heat fan I know. You didn't choose the Heat. Can't believe it.
My heart says Miami, but logic says.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that brings us to our other team in the East, right? Because they're actually 1 and 2 respectively. Philly's number one. The Nets are number two.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it this way. Brooklyn. Brooklyn will not self-implode before the playoffs start.
What can you further define self-implode?
So, okay, let's try to rephrase it. Brooklyn, how would I word this? Brooklyn will not fall apart. They will not fall apart prior to the playoffs starting.
See, what do you mean by fall apart? Like, what do you mean?
You have a big three. Yeah. Two of whom are known to be quote unquote divas of the NBA. All three of them, well, two of them mainly are ball dominant, right? Now we've had glimpses here and there of them being able to share and, coexist and whatnot. But the question is, can they last for the duration of the NBA season cohesively?
So in terms of your question and cap or no cap, I say that is cap. So they will not fall apart. I think if you take out one of the three and it's just like them two, whichever like that'll be, they're going to be fine, honestly. Right now, I think James Harden is playing pretty unselfish. He's you know, as a point guard, or if he's like, the one like distributing the ball, he's pretty good. He's pretty darn good. A lot of assists. I think Kyrie just needs to step up on defense. He's being pretty, you know, he can't guard a stick, he said on an interview.
He did recently. Say that, yes. Yeah.
So, and KD is just, I kind of love KD in the Nets because he's just there, man. Like, if you need him to score, just give him the ball and score. Like, he's not like a diva. He's not like an attention seeker. He just, like, he'll just score, man. Like, he's just there in the corner just waiting for you to, like, give him the ball.
Right,
he'll
right.
just, you know, put it up. But they do need more defense. They do need a big other than a DJ. So, I mean, as of right now, I believe they will not fall apart. How about you?
I say cap. I don't think they'll fall apart. I think they'll be okay for the rest of the season.
Okay. I thought it'd be a different response.
But with that said, they are for sure not making it out of the East. They are not.
What?
I don't see it happening because of their defense. That's their main thing. That's their liability is defense.
Exactly.
Because we were talking about it before we recorded, right?
Yes. Yes, you were.
I don't know if it's okay if you mind if I talk about this. Yeah. You're having a debate with your friend on which is more important, offense or defense. And there's that old adage, defense wins championships, right? And you can make the argument that good offense will always be good defense. Yes, that's true. But can you carry that same mentality throughout a 7-game series? I don't think so.
Right.
I really don't, right?
So would you say, like in like one game, like, for example, obviously, like, this is 2K. For example, 2K, right? In one game, would offense be defense?
In 2K, I would say yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because, like, 2K is all about, you create a my player, you're trying to go for, like, 70 points every game. You know what I mean? It's all about offense. Right. You create your own team. You're building a monster team offensively. Unless you have some people that look at it strategically, me being the nerd that I am, when I play 2K and I happen to create a team, I actually do focus on defense. I'm trying to see who, like, I look at who's a good 3-and-D guy, right? From each position, who's a good 3-and-D? Because in my mind, like, that's what wins ball games. Like, you're gonna hit more threes, play defense. So, but in 2K, most people they're just trying to go for points. You know, they're going to pick the most prolific scorers, if you will.
Right. Okay.
Good but point. In real life, defense is always going to win. I don't care who you are. Look at the past championships. Look at all the past championships, even in the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. Right. Look at last season. You have two of the arguably the best defenses go head to head. Lakers won because I think they had better defense than Miami.
Right.
And they locked down more fast break points
at the end.
Yes. You know, when you look at any of the Warriors championships, people talk about how amazing what scorers they are, you know, how amazing they were. But they got points because of their defense. Their defense initiated their offense. And that's one thing that's always overlooked. Steve Kerr always talked about it. Like, it starts with defense. And you see it. Look at Draymond Green. He's one of the most – he has the highest IQ level when it comes to defense, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I love Draymond Green because he sees things before they happen. And that translates. Defense translates to offense, which is why I firmly believe defense does win championships. If you have a team with no defense, you can have all the scorers in the world, but they can't defend – and you're going up against a team that can defend, think about it.
Exactly. Think about it.
If you have people that can stop you from scoring, but you can't stop them from scoring, of course they're going to beat you. You know what I mean?
That's perfect. What you said, that's perfect. It's crazy because, you can score and you're a good scorer, but like you said, if you stop them from scoring, you're obviously going to win because they can't score on you. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So I'm just... I don't know. Shout out to Brian. You know, we're talking about this, you know, nonstop, but it's all love, man. I'm saying that, you know, it's all about defense. And going back to the Nets, though, again, like you said, they're not going to come out of the East because of defense. I hope that they improve their defense. I hope that they make at least a fight against Philly. but please, for the love of God, we cannot let Philly come out of the East. Please, Boston, Miami, Brooklyn, please. Let's all join together and stop Philly from making it to the finals. Please. Fight. Oh, fight. Please.
That's honestly one of the scariest things is about Philly is their defense.
Right.
These guys are long. Like, they're tall. They're big. Like, they love to defend.
Ben Simmons, man. This guy's
Ben Simmons. Long, locked down. Tall.
Exactly.
He's padlocked. Padlocked with chains. Like, he's he gets at it.
Yeah, because he can't score, so he just uses a defense.
You got to do something. You can't score, might as well defend.
Exactly.
Oh, man. That was a good side discussion there.
Yes.
But I digress. Let's finish off cap, no cap. Yes. This will be like the lightning round, if you will. So Bleacher Report came out with, a couple of weeks ago, they came out with their predictions for certain categories. We've done this before, but this is Bleacher Report. We'll kind of take a look at it. Tell me if it's cap, no cap. First one, Rookie of the Year will be LaMelo Ball. Cap, no cap.
No cap, man. He's doing his thing in Charlotte. I think your candidate was James Wiseman, but yeah. I don't know. I think LaMelo Ball is putting on a show. Obviously, like the media also kind of draws on LaMelo Ball. They give him all the highlights, all the posts. So, I mean, with that, I mean, in terms of like media attention and like capturing, you know, straight up, you know, attention, I think it's LaMelo Ball for sure. So I think it's no cap.
That's the thing with these awards, is that it's all publicity, it's popularity, who gets the most views and everything like that. But that aside, if I had to pick some, you know, if I had to say, is he really worthy of Rookie of the Year? I still say cap. I don't think he's Rookie of the Year. Right now, second and third are Tyrese Haliburton from Sacramento, who's been balling out. I feel like he is a more secure point guard. And the number three is Patrick Williams. I feel like people are sleeping on James Wiseman. I feel like it's a turtle race. If you over the progression of the season, I promise you, he's only going to get better. I'm telling you, James Wiseman is going to put up some crazy numbers for a rookie. But we'll see if it comes down to popularity or about stats. Most improved player is Jeremy Grant. Cap, no cap.
Cap. I don't think he's improved. He's just in a better spot. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like we said earlier in the show, like, he's in Detroit. No one's in Detroit. No one can score in Detroit. And it's just him, the only guy. So, of course, he's had these like large numbers and big numbers. But for me, it's cap. I don't think he's going to be the most improved player.
I will also say cap. I don't think he's the most improved. Number two and three on this list is Chris Boucher from the Raptors. I don't think he's going to get it. Christian Wood from the Rockets. I think he's a contender.
He is.
Christian Wood. I would actually throw in John Morant for most improved player.
Okay.
I just feel like he's...
You wouldn't include Zion in there? You had Zion in the previous show.
I did have Zion, but I'm switching. I'm switching right now, flip-flopping.
Okay. Okay, that's all right. We'll allow it.
Next one. Defensive player of the year will be Anthony Davis. Cap, no cap.
That is no cap. That is no cap. Again, that's the Laker bias coming in strong, but I mean, dude's a monster. Wait, who's also two and three on the list?
Two and three, AD? We have Rudy Gobert from the Utah Jazz, and three, we have Joel Embiid from the Sixers.
Nah, I'm picking AD. AD should have won last year, so I wanted to win this year.
Based on these three, I will also say no cap. I think he will be Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Next category, Sixth Man of the Year will be Chris Boucher of the Toronto Raptors. Cap, no cap.
That's cap. There are too many other good candidates for Sixth Man of the Year this year.
Speaking of the candidates, we have Jordan Clarkson at two and Shake Milton at three. Man, Philly's all over this. Philly's everywhere.
No, I think... I'm saying this right now, just out of nowhere. Sixth Man of the Year is going to be Alex Caruso. Yo, you laugh right now. You laugh.
There's no way, bro. There's no way.
This guy is great, bro. This guy is a Swiss Army knife, according to LeBron James. A Swiss Army knife. All right.
I think Chris Boucher over AC, man.
Yo, Alex Caruso, man, he's the GOAT. Laker GOAT.
Nah, man, I would say Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson has been holding it down. He's been going off. I feel like he's an honorable mention. Yeah. Quickly, before we go on, talking about Jeremy Grant being most improved player, I said John Morant. Somebody else I would throw in the mix is Colin Sexton. Just throwing it out there.
Yes.
Just throwing it out there.
For sure.
Okay, so the last one before we head out. MVP, according to Bleacher Report, so this is cap or no cap, MVP will be Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers.
See, all right, it's hard because half the time I'm on this show, I am not facing facts. I'm just facing pure bias or pure hatred for certain teams. So I will say, for one, that it's possible. I can see it happening. But my bias or my hatred for Philly is just going to take over and be like, no, you can't. I will say, though, that Kevin Durant making a strong run for it. He's making a very strong run for MVP. He's balling out after his injury. That's a good story. You know, storylines for MVP. Good storyline. So I think.
Funny you mentioned KD. He's actually number two on this list.
Who's three?
Three is Nikola Jokic.
Bleacher Report, what are you doing out there with these lists?
Hey, what? Hey, Nikola Jokic, he's going off, man. He's putting stats. The Joker is putting up crazy stats. If I had to reshuffle this, right? I feel like the most valuable player is the person where if you take them off this roster, that team would fall apart. So I would say Nikola Jokic should be MVP based on my understanding. And then, of course, number two, I would put Joel Embiid. Number three, I put LeBron James because LeBron is doing what he's doing at, you know, year 18. It's just bonkers, right. Bonkers to me. But I feel like we give so much praise to LeBron in the show. So
that's right.
Tone it down a little bit. Yeah, tone it down.
I won't, but yeah, it's all right.
But yeah, I feel like Jokic is doing his thing. It's hard, though, because I feel like you also have to be on a winning team. I think currently they are. They're up there. I think they're – let's see. They are
– You said they were third in the – oh, no, not third. They were like, what, fifth or sixth in the West?
They're fourth. Okay. Yeah, they're fourth. So I think you take him off that roster, that team just falls apart. So I think he should be MVP. Notable mention, Steph Curry.
Yeah. Warriors, they kind of turned it around. They flipped the switch.
They're starting to. I mean, they're fighting for that eighth playoff spot right now. with whatever roster pieces that they have. I mean, on paper their roster is decent, but I think they're turning it around. We'll see. We'll see if they can move up. They're only a game and a half behind Portland, so.
Right. I can't believe Luka was in talks to be MVP. That was wild.
let me pose it to you this way: if you take Luka off of that roster,
oof. No, they would not be doing good either.
They're third to last. If you take him off that roster, they might be the worst team in the league. Yeah. They just might. They might be worse than the Timberwolves. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Pelicans, they're not anywhere near the top eight.
Yeah.
I feel like something that, you know, we'll do for our listeners and people watching, you, Lawrence, and I guess, you know, like when you're in school, you do like a quarterly report or you receive like a progress report, like for your report card, whatever. I think we should do that in terms of the standings that we had and where we stand now. Like if we were close, if we were way off based on our preseason prediction. Yeah. So I think we'll do that for next week's show. But before we sign off, is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to end the show with?
No, I just, Lawrence, I miss you. Hopefully you're back soon. On your break, but hey, man, that was it. It was fun. it's like old times, me and you when we first
started. Yes, this is a throwback. It's a throwback episode. Yeah, humble beginnings. Started from the bottom, but we're still at the bottom, kind of. I just want to thank everybody for listening, people who tune in.
We definitely appreciate you all for supporting the podcast in different ways. Whether you're here with us weekly on Spotify or Apple, or if you're on Instagram looking at our content over there. I know we've been posting as of late the video portion of the podcast, little snippets here and there of funny moments, interesting takes, all that. You can see our facial expressions, our reactions, and it's hilarious. So check us out there as well at the Hot Take Podcast. Shout out again to our two friends of the show, Ata V and Kyra, for coming in clutch and helping us with our designs and our logo and all of our content. God knows that we needed that help. So we appreciate you guys for that too. For next week, we have a special show planned. We have Lawrence back with us and also a special guest. So tune in for that. Other than that, I usually don't do the intro. I'm sorry, the outro. But today is a different day. So with that said, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you next time. This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.